Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Mission Possible. Our friend Chris Cope is here representing Hastings Family Service. She is the executive director, and we're thrilled that she is in studio with us today. Chris, great to see you. How have you been?
Well, Happy New Year, Mo.
Can you believe it?
I know, 2020.
I know.
Yeah. I just read yesterday that 30 years ago, it was 1990, and 30 years from now, it'll be 2050. And that just sounds, wow, 2050. Oh, I'm going to be really old.
You're very optimistic.
That I'm alive. Yes, exactly. But that was kind of put it in perspective for me. It's like, oh, I remember 1990. That's when I had my first daughter. And yeah.
Doesn't seem that long ago.
It does not seem 30 years ago. So, yeah. So, yeah. And time flies. And time flies at Hastings Family Service, too.
I bet the holidays really go fast.
They do. You know, every day is just gone in a flash. Mm-hmm. And just so many things to think about and to do, and so many moving parts, and so many amazing people coming through the door, whether they're coming in for help or coming in to give help. And we had 202 additional volunteers in our building over the holidays from Thanksgiving to Christmas. And so it's extraordinary, because every day we already have, you know, 30 maybe 40 volunteers in all capacities. And so in addition to that every day, then we've got these other shifts. And, you know, and it's fun to hear our volunteers' reaction each day when we start a new shift during our project share distribution. We do a little mini orientation where we have them all standing in a circle and they introduce themselves. And then Maria Slavik, our volunteer coordinator, takes them through kind of the process of, from the minute someone comes through the door and says, I'm here to pick up my gifts, to then how those gifts are, how were they accessed, and use walkie-talkies, and we walkie back to the warehouse where those volunteers then get the gifts, and from there they pack them up and bring them down to the food cart people, and the food cart people pack the food according to the family size, and then lo and behold, that neighbor is at our back dock to pick up. And it's quite a orchestration, I guess, is what it is. But even every year, we still come up with new ways to perfect it. And you would think after 50 years of doing this, we'd have it perfected. But we have great people that come in and fresh eyes every year, and people will ask really simple questions. They're like, gosh, that is brilliant. Why? You know, sometimes you're just stuck doing things the way you've always done them. And so, so it is just extraordinary. And particularly fun is when our volunteers are seeing a need that someone might have, and it's falling outside the scope of someone coming in for project share.
Like, what's an example of that, Chris?
Yeah, well, one of the first days, we had a gentleman coming to pick up his gift, and he's a single adult, so he came to shop in the North Pole, and he was able to select a gift, and then he got his turkey and all of his fixings to make his holiday meal, and he was walking, and it was one of those extreme cold days, and he had no gloves. So when he left on the first trip, they didn't notice that he didn't have any gloves, and he came back with the grocery cart with these just frozen hands. And so our volunteer came and found a staff person and said, is there any way we could provide him with some gloves? Well, our friends at Crossroads did an amazing warm weather hats and mittens drive for us, and we received, I'm going to lose track of how many, I would say like 7 or 8 black large garbage bags full of...
Oh my gosh, I thought you were going to say 7 or 8 gloves.
No.
Garbage bags.
Garbage
full.
Bags. Yep.
Of,
yep. And so this gentleman, no problem, was able to get not only the gloves, but a hat as well. And he was, you know, you would have thought he had just hit the jackpot because he didn't have those, and it was really cold. And so it wasn't, and part of our orientation is when we have those new people in the building is you may learn of a need that someone has and just always find a staff person to see if we can figure it out for them. And we don't want our volunteers to have to try and figure that out on their own. And many times we can help with things like putting gas in someone's car or whatever the case may be. So yeah, it is, it's just an extraordinary, extraordinary time. It's, the other thing that I guess really is always touching is we get letters as staff from people who have been impacted by Project Share. And we received a letter from a mom who is a single mom and was homeless for a time in her life. And she's successfully working and raising her son. And when she got home with her gifts and her groceries, she realized that the Christmas that she had always dreamt about but never had really experienced was potentially going to be happening this year. And she was just so grateful that a place like Hastings Family Services there to bring all of these amazing things together under one roof and to make them available. And that particular woman also received, we gave out a lot of Christmas trees this year. And so our friend John Moe, who many people know here in town for years, has blessed families with new Christmas trees, real Christmas trees that he cuts off of his own property. And this year he had tree stands for every one of them as well, and they hand deliver those to families a couple weeks before Christmas. And then we have many people that donate artificial trees, and so we always ask, do you need a tree? And so, you know, for many of our families, they might have had a tree at one time in their life, or they might have had parts of it. Sometimes they've never had the whole picture. And this mom, you could just hear the joy and the gratitude in the words that she chose in this letter that she wrote. But I think the statement at the end of her letter that really touched me the most is the gifts, the gifts are so amazing. And all of the groceries, I couldn't believe everything from sugar cookies and frosting and everything to make the fruit salad. And she says, but more than it, it's not the material things that I appreciate. It's just the whole gratitude and the whole generosity of people that really means so much to me. And so it's fun to be able to hear a story like that and to know that somebody really had just a moment of normalcy, kind of the just the picturesque Christmas that we all hope to be able to provide our own families. And in some families, the chaos of everyday life makes those moments rare. And so it's fun to know that this community helps make that happen. Mm-hmm. We had about 376 families come this year. It's up about maybe 10 families from the previous year.
Okay, I was just going to ask that.
So pretty similar.
Kind of static.
Yeah, we've been in about the 375 range for the last several years. Probably about 4 or 5 years ago, we were up closer to 400, so I'm not sure what the reduction is all about. But one of the things that happened this year is Christmas and Thanksgiving are very short.
Close, yes.
3 weeks. And so we opened up our registration a little bit earlier than normal.
Smart.
And thinking we want to get as many families through the door as possible because we're not going to have much time once Thanksgiving hits. And so we were able to adopt out more families than ever before. 208 families were adopted. And dang it, I didn't look up how many were adopted the year before. I want to say we maybe adopted out about 180 the year before.
So that helps you out a lot.
That does help us out a lot. And I think it's a more personal experience for that neighbor who many of our donors who adopt a family will go directly off that wish list that they've provided, and that's exactly what they purchase for the family. And so it is a little bit more personal, I think, for those families with children that, have a specific wish or want. And so it really is fun. But then we are also so blessed by so many people in this community that do gift trees. They put our most needed items on their trees, and their congregation or their business patrons or just a bunch of friends decide to go out and purchase all of those things. And they fill our North Pole. And our North Pole was probably fuller than I've ever seen it this year. And part of it is we did have 30 less families go through the North Pole. So if you think of that, we figure the average family is about a 3.5. That's the average size of a family that we serve. So that's about 100 people that didn't shop in the North Pole mm-hmm. this year. So we actually have a pretty excessive amount of gifts still left over from last year. And so starting tomorrow, or from this year, so starting tomorrow, we'll do an inventory. So one of the things that we do is we have to inventory for our auditors what we have. And secondly, we use those gifts throughout the year. So we do the birthday bag program where we provide three birthday gifts for children throughout the year. And we usually do about 300 kids a year. So right there, we're going to go through 1,000 toys this next year for that program. But we also help, like the Lions does their bunny breakfast. And then we have Secret Santa's Shop, which is another spectacular program that we also work with. And so some of the smaller items that just people didn't select in the North Pole, and things like little matchbox cars, like there might be a pack of matchbox cars or Barbie dolls, those are smaller items in the North Pole. And so when mom's in shopping for her kids, she's going to select the bigger ticket items because she maybe can afford to go out and buy her kids some matchbox cars or some Barbie dolls. So we provide those smaller items to some of those other programs, and then they're able to use them. So right now, we have a team of volunteers coming in tomorrow who will go through and decide what's going to go to Secret Santa's Shop for next year, what's going to go to the Lions Bunny Breakfast, what are the things that are going to be in our inventory for our birthday bags, and then what are the things that we can carry over and use again next year. So it's still a huge, huge process to deal with all the wonderful generosity of this community. We had bikes come in throughout the year this last year, and the Hastings Police Department partnered with us and provided a helmet for every bike that was distributed, which is fun for them as well. And a couple of our officers actually did delivery again this year, which is really a fun way for the police to be seen in a positive light and to have a positive interaction with local families, which we love creating those kind of opportunities as well. So it is just quite a an amazing just pouring of generosity and just kindness and such good spirits. Everybody that is in the building is just so excited to be a part of something, you know, really just beautiful this time of year. And so it is just a blessing, and we're very blessed to be at the heart of it all the time, witnessing the whole thing.
It's right. And I think what people forget sometimes is that the need is year round.
It is. Yep. We're kind of trying to evaluate. There's been some changes at the national level around SNAP or food stamps, and I can't say I'm an expert on what that impact will be, but definitely Congress has made the decision to put more stipulations in regarding the eligibility of SNAP. And it had been that if people think that food stamps is one of these programs that's abused all the time, and you know, the reality is, to be eligible, if you're able-bodied in between the ages of 19 and 59, I believe it is, you are eligible for SNAP for 3 months in a 36-month period, but then beyond that, you're not eligible. And so let's say you lost your job.
And it takes you 6 months to find a new one.
Yep, you'll get help for 3 months, and then there is no help after that, and there will be no help for 36 months. So some of the other things that are being, I'll just admit, sometimes I just wait. I mean, it's terrible. I wait to find out where we're going to end, but I don't know where this is. But they're looking at asset levels for like seniors on a fixed income. There are many seniors that benefit from SNAP. They're on a very limited fixed income, a low income, and they do have a pension that supplements their Social Security, but they're still living below the poverty line, so they're eligible for SNAP. Well, those asset levels, such as having actually, let's say someone has a small pension and it's enough to maybe supplement their Social Security, you know, maybe $100 a month or something. The new proposal at the national level will look at those asset levels, and that could be a reason that someone might not be eligible for SNAP. So we're going to see some increases in the food shelf for the fact that less people will be able to use SNAP the way they had previous. In previous years, states were able to come up with their own guidelines for extending SNAP. I know that right now Congress is looking at taking out the opportunity for states to make some of those exceptions. And so it's going to be more limiting, and definitely we want everyone to work that can work, and we want everyone to be, you know, independent and contributing to their community. But there definitely are people that need to rely on these programs too, and they're there for a good reason. So
it's good that you know some of these things behind the scenes, and that you're staying on top of current legislation and different proposals, because that can only help your organization.
Well, yeah, you know, and I'm more concerned about people that really need the help, and you know, what happens when these programs become more restrictive, and you know, where do people turn? And then really, how do small nonprofits like us, how do we meet the demand then, if you know, if people are going to be more dependent on using a food shelf to survive, then what does that mean for us in meeting all the needs? And so those are some of the challenges sometimes.
We just have a couple minutes left. I know you also wanted to talk about volunteer opportunities.
Yeah, so thanks to those 200 extra volunteers over Project Share, but during the regular season, we still need, we have volunteer openings in many capacities, particularly right now in our store at Rivertown Treasures. And we have openings in all shifts, because we are in a process right now where we're adding a third person on. And we also have snowbirds that are heading south, and a lot of them already left, and we're also jealous. So we have a lot of opportunities for folks to fill in where our snowbirds have left, but particularly in our donation center and at Rivertown Treasures, there are specific positions available.
And what does a shift look like, please?
Right now it is, it's a half day. It's either a morning from 8:30 to 1 or from 1 to 5, but we're willing to be flexible on that, and we're willing to look at other ways that potentially people could be used if that shift doesn't work out. And so Maria Slavik is our volunteer coordinator. If you're interested in volunteering, you can actually just go to our website at hastingsfamilyservice.org, click on volunteers, and fill out the application. It'll go directly to Maria. She'll give you a call within a few days and set up a meeting to visit and get to know you, and talk about where you might like to get involved. And we would love to bring you on and join the 400 volunteers who are already providing help and hope at Hastings Family Service.
Love it. Chris Cope, thanks for coming in today, and thanks for all you do at Hastings Family Service. And you are listening to another edition of Mission Possible on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.